Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
I'd like to talk about a scripture and a story, a promise and a practice. A scripture and a story, a promise and a practice. When I hear that Acts reading, where Paul stands up in the Areopagus, a place where the great and the good of the day would debate issues of public life, issues of truth and falsity, issues of public weight and matter, the future of the city-state in Athens, I am always taken by Paul's approach. So the scripture first. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious, for I have walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship. I have found an altar with this inscription to an unknown God. Now, what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you." St. Paul has taken into his life the way of God in Jesus. God always meets us where we are and not where we might be. I love that opening slide on the screen that told us again and again that wherever we find ourselves, whatever we bring this morning, to bring it, to come not as we might be, but as we are. For God's love for us always meets us where we are. St. Paul's method, if you like, his approach to sharing the love of God in Jesus, was not to transmit from a great height or distance. It was to find within the culture and the context, within the city in which he found himself, if you like, the point of contact, the link, the connection, and then to shape what he said from there. So we don't know, we would love to know a little more, but he obviously spent time in the city, a city full of gods and goddesses, and he is finding a way of speaking of Christ Jesus, God made flesh, the God who comes to us in littleness, the unexpected God, who comes in Christ to meet us where we are, to forgive our sins, to take our sins to the cross, and then risen and ascended to pour out the Spirit upon us. It's a big story. It's a big story. But do you notice how St. Paul doesn't begin with the big story, but begins with the people right in front of him? "I have found an inscription." How many did he read until he saw that one and thought, "That's it. That's it." And then later on in the same passage, I'll read you again so you get the context. "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. He's not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives life and breath to everything else. Through one man he made every nation of people that they should inhabit the whole earth. And so he goes on. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. I just want to make that first point from the scriptures. God meets us where we are. St. Paul meets the people of Athens where they are, in all their misguided commitments and in their idolatries and in their making of temples and goddesses and in their placing of trust in all the wrong places. He comes with the big story of God's love for the world. And he finds right there in front of him, because right there in front of him, God is waiting. We believe Jesus waits for us to join him. Wherever we go, wherever we are, as one of your poets said. So we've got an inscription from one of the statues, we don't know where it is, to an unknown God, just to keeping things safe. Might as well have one to the unknown God. That covers the bases, doesn't it? And so he steps right into that and says, the God that is unknown, that you proclaim as unknown, I shall proclaim to you. He gets his way in. It's the most powerful, beautiful, and simple way. But it's so full of encouragement for each one of us this morning. God meets us where we are. We forget Christmas too quickly. You know, Christmas should be with us, not all the bells and the lights and the cards and the worrying about whether we have forgotten the present for the distant grandchild that is coming. But Christmas, God with us, the God who takes flesh, the unexpected God, or as St. Paul will say again and again, and in Colossians perhaps most powerfully, he is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is God's human face, God's open door. He is God with us in a form and a way that we can understand, that we can begin to get our lives around, not just our heads. So I want to say to you, where are you this morning? Wanting to love Jesus more? He will meet you in that. Holding a hurt or a wound? Bring it to him. He will meet you in that. Full of joy at something that has been so good this week. We must always remember, he will meet us in that. He longs to share our life, God with us. Do you see what I mean by saying that Paul has learnt from Jesus this way with others? Just as God in Christ meets us where we are, so Paul meets the people of Athens where they are, and he will meet you and Jonathan. For Susie and Max as they set out on sabbatical. I'm so thrilled that they're doing that. And I knew you would support the idea. So they always have to check with the archdeacon. And if the archdeacon's not available, with the bishop. And I rejoiced at the thought of our Max and Susie having a deep rest. Having time. And they've got time for all of you. You know that. They love you. They love you with the love of Jesus. But it's time for them to have a break. A bit more time for both of them, for each other. But also to seek Christ. To seek Jesus afresh and anew. So pray for them that Jesus will meet them where they are. We don't know the things that Susie and Max are wrestling with as they journey on in the presence of Jesus, but they do, and Jesus does. And we pray they come back refreshed and saying, we have met with him. Or even better, he met with us. He met with us. This is the gospel, isn't it? I might not get on to the other three points. I love this so much. I love this so much. This is our God. Not the God that some of us grew up believing in. The God that was much more like the head teacher or a parent. Can we say this with real sensitivity with each other? Sometimes the parents we love could be harsh. We all of us carry wounds from our childhoods. And sometimes those wounds get projected onto to God. And I have come to think, as your brother first, your disciple, a fellow disciple with you, and then by God's sense of humour, your bishop, great sense of humour, I've come to think that we will spend a lifetime unlearning what we thought we knew about God. And the way to unlearn is always to return to Jesus. If you read the first chapter of St. Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, amazing. He is the image of the invisible God. Just pause, hang on. Whatever you meant by God needs to be revised in the light of this life. This life born of Mary. This life in humility and gentleness. This picture of God, not like Trumpian power, blowing up people until they agree with us or come round to us or make a deal with us. This is the way of love, the way of gentleness and peace, the way of being wooed into life, being drawn into life. Better get on, hadn't I? So where are you this morning? No need to confess it out loud, or you might be very thrilled something has happened this week, you feel in good health, you're thankful, but there may be other areas that you want to bring to him, or maybe quite simply you want more of Jesus in your life. A scripture and a story, a promise and a practice. We've got a couple of hours, Peter, is that... The story. In the Diocese of Winchester, where I served for nearly 9 years as Bishop of Southampton, I had a place in the city which I loved deeply. I mean, I loved them all, but it was called the Rose Road Association. Some of you may know about its work. But it was built, it's a place and a centre which offers respite care to multiply disabled, complexly disabled young adults and teenagers. It's that sort of slot, the teenager and then into early adulthood. And it's a wonderful centre. The previous Toubac, Bishop of Winchester, Michael Scott Joint, who's a real gift to me in my life, he was behind a lot of the fundraising for it, which took in the whole city and the whole of Hampshire. It was one of those beautiful moments where everyone came together and something beautiful happened. And in Southampton, they, from time to time, they put those banners up under the street lights. We see them sometimes this side of the border, but that was a thing in Southampton. So there'd be something about the football club for a couple of months if they were doing really well. But Rose Road was often up as well. And it was something that the community knew. Anyway, one day I became an ambassador for the Rose Road Association. I used to nip in for a cuppa. I just got to know them over 8 years. It was a real gift to me. And on one occasion I was allowed to sit in the corner of a therapy suite. And... never going to forget it. So I'm in there, shoes off, in the corner. And in comes this little one. Really cross. Probably 14, 15 years old, something like. Really cross. Not wanting this session that she knows is going to come. And she goes onto the mat. And by my reckoning, probably not quite accurate now in the telling because I've thought about it a lot, but I remember two or three people working intensively with this young person. And it was unmistakable that they were really cross. And the focus seemed to be on the hand and the lower arm. And 40 minutes of this sort of intense, lots of love, professional love, you know, they were good people who were around this young person. And when she went back to her room, I said, "So tell me, would you help me understand what I've just seen?" And they said this. They said, "Jonathan, have you noticed the motorised wheelchairs around the place? They're a bit of a joke at Rose Road, because you can, if you're not careful, get mown down by a young person who's just been given their new bit of kit." And they said, in a way that absolutely devastated me, for all the right reasons, you know, they said, "We are going to get those two fingers working. Because that child is going to enter the world. And that child is going to have access to worlds that she can't even imagine at the moment. And so, yes, we were working intensively on two fingers." I've written about it in another place that you might see at some point. Two fingers. Always think of, if you've got two fingers that work, we're onto them. And this is the way of Jesus with us. If you've got, you may not be facing the right direction. You may be knee deep in sin and shame. You may be in a right old muddle. Or you might be getting some things right and some not so good. But is there a flame of desire in you? Is there just a pilot light of longing to be closer to Jesus? Longing to walk more like him. Pilot light, fantastic. If it's only a flickering flame that works 3 days a week, that's enough. Person who trained me for ministry, second story. Person who trained me for ministry. I was upset about something. I was actually cross with someone. Wonder if that's one of you or some of you. And forgiveness is a thing, isn't it? It's you know, we build up a whole debt. You know, you owe me. And of course, what we don't notice is that debt is weighing us down. That debt's making us sick. That debt's making us anxious and self-righteous. And it's keeping us from all the good things in our life. No one is saying that it was a good thing that happened to us. No one's pretending it was anything other than horrible. But it's a debt that's building up. That's why in the, I think it's Luke, not Matthew, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." It's debt release. Learning to let go of the debt we're holding against each other. That's one way of thinking about forgiveness. And I was struggling with that. And he said, "Well, are you ready? You know, think," he said, "think about a journey." He said, "Philip, lovely Philip, think about a journey." He said, "Are you on the train heading towards forgiveness?" I said, "I'm absolutely not. I am absolutely not. I am steaming about this." He said, "Okay, let's go back a bit. Are you in the kitchen before setting out to your journey?" I said, "Well, I can probably do that, but I'm not feeling it. I'm not there yet. You know, on the journey of forgiveness, I'm still in the kitchen. I haven't put my coat on. I'm not on my way." And we work back to flicking the switch of the kettle to make the cup of tea before getting ready to go out on the journey to get the train towards the destination. He said, "Yeah, I can do that." He said, "Well, that's great. That's all Jesus needs. Tell him that. That's all Jesus needs. He needs to know that you long to forgive, but you're struggling. You want to be on the journey of forgiveness, but you're finding it hard. And would you come and help me?" The scripture, God will meet you. God will meet me. God longs us to meet the world where we are, where people really are. Not to speak beside the point, not to be transmitting what we think is the good news of Jesus in general, but to spend time in finding out where we are, just as Jesus knows where we are. He will meet us where we are. And there he will bring his balm, his love, his grace, his forgiveness, his spirit. It's beautiful. This is the good news of God in Christ, not an aloof God, not a distant God, but the God who comes to us in littleness to where we are, that we might become all that he is, a son or a daughter of God. A scripture and a story, a promise and a practice. Nearly there. The promise, recorded in the 15th chapter, the 14th chapter of St. John, is that Jesus will pour out the Holy Spirit upon us so that we can participate in his life, and through participating in his life, can share the life of the one he called Father. I'm just going to say that again. The promise of Jesus is that he who received the Holy Spirit will give us the Holy Spirit, so that all that he is will be ours and we will be his. That the Spirit will draw us into the life of Jesus and through Jesus into the life of the one he called Father, and into the life of the one he called Father, who loves the world and longs for the world to return to his love. So that we begin through the Spirit, in union with Jesus, participating in the Father's love, begin to be part of that community. This is it, the part of that community which is living in Christ and for the world. The promise of the Holy Spirit. Some of you will be brilliant at DIY. Could I have some hands up if you would describe yourself as good DIYers? Excellent. Excellent. Can I have some verification from home? I have a very dear friend. His name's Ian Stackhouse, so not to defend the innocent. He's a Baptist pastor, just finished at Millmead in Guildford, big church there. Very dear friends. We both ministered in Guildford for years and got to know each other, and our kids played in the same football team, and we seem to be struggling with the same things on occasion. We walked up Snowdon when two of our kids were 13. Bit of a rite of passage thing. We walked up. We had all the bags, of course. The two youngsters were skipping their way up the mountainside. We were heavy laden. At one point, they turned and they saw me on my knees with tears, and Ian with his arm round me, and they thought something terrible had happened. But I was unable to breathe. I was laughing so much. And it was a bit of a joke between us that both of our wives really would have preferred to marry someone who could do the DIY. And because I know this man and I would trust him with my life, he said, you would just never guess what has happened. Hopeless at DIY. He used to say, if his Susie, like you, Max, if his Susie sees him even turning towards a toolbox, she hits the floor in prayer, straight down in prayer. You know, hopeless. Don't get near. Back away from that toolbox. You know, he writes poetry and books. And I was great at facing off spin. Not much good when your tap's leaking or when there's something in the garden needs sorting out. Anyway, he said, this is what's happened. I was at home and I opened the door and it was one of our congregation. And she said, Ian, I've got the strangest, you know, I hope you don't mind me asking. He said, look, far away, didn't know what would come in. What was this? He said, have you got a hinge? He said, double take. No, have you got a hinge? We're fixing something at home, the door, we have got a problem. Have you got a hinge? And instead of saying, no, what a daft question. He said, wait a minute. And he walked past her, I can picture this scene, into the garage, closed the door. And then he said to me, the question was, how long do I need to be in the garage to seem like the kind of man who would have a hinge? Over the years, various things have happened, but one of which is I have received a hinge in the post, in a jiffy bag, and with no marking, no notation, no, just a hinge, just to remind ourselves. Christian life, what you face tomorrow, is not DIY. It's not DIY, it's do it together. It's DIT, do it together as a community. Baptism is not, oh, I've come to Jesus, so I'll be baptized, and then by one. Baptism is being brought into by water and the Spirit, by both water and the Spirit. Different times, it can happen early, it can happen late, it can happen at any time God chooses. But baptism is being brought into a community which is living now what we shall see in fullness then, now and not yet. This Christian community is to be a community that journeys in Christ, that walks with Jesus until that day when he shall come again, until that day when there's no more need for DIY, because God will gather up all things in Christ. Read that passage in Ephesians 1. This is Paul's vision, and it was Jesus' vision of the coming kingdom when all things are completed, wiped clean, renewed and restored in Christ. Or as the Lord's Prayer has it, when heaven comes to earth. We sometimes think it's the other way around. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. That's the future. We live in the not yet. The now, Jesus reigns, and the not yet, the kingdom is on its way. And we are to live together, to love together, to learn to forbear and forgive together. This is a learning community. Did no one tell you? This is a school in Christ's service. And if you're driven bonkers by the person next to you, sorry, that's the deal. He brings together not the wise of the world, but the foolish. He brings together those who know their need of forgiveness, who know their need of God. And he establishes a community in time and eternity, who will live for him, who will speak of him, who will meet the world where it is. Politics matters, individual faith matters, social justice matters, my sins matter. And the good news of Jesus is that he is for us all. And until he comes again, the risen, ascended and glorified one, we will meet together and support each other together. And Christian life is not DIY, but DIT, together. So what's the practice? Quite simple. When your vicar's away, when your vicar's here. When you think God's looking, when you think he's not. Keep showing up. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bidhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.